And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned in the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 5, verse number 18. Luke chapter 5, verse number 18, a wonderful passage here, a hallmark passage, a passage that the children of the Lord need to know that they might use to be a witness to others, a passage that's very definitive early in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, again, while he's there at Capernaum, we understand it correctly, and that tells us the purpose of the miracles. We touched on some of that last week, or last time. It says in verse number 17 that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. There was faith at hand. Faith by these men. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that he could do this for their friend or their kin. In Luke chapter 5, verse number 18, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him," that is the Lord Jesus. And so there's this man that's taken with the palsy. There's these four that are carrying him. They know that their friend or their kinsman can be healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the reason that there's power present to heal, is because there's faith in our Lord to do so. These men have taken the initiative. They've loaded up their friend or their kinsman. They have brought him, no doubt, peace in the city at least, and have carried him to this place where Jesus is. They've inquired where the Lord Jesus is. They found him. They look at the place where he's at. They cannot enter in through the door. They cannot enter in through the window. But it is imperative. It's incumbent upon them to get their friend, their kinsmen, to the Lord Jesus Christ. They know if they could lay him before the Lord Jesus, they know that that this man could be healed of this palsy. Verse number 19, "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus." They look around, they make a survey of the place, they say, "We can't get in the door, we can't get in any window, nobody will cede their place to allow us to pass. Fellas, I know what we'll do. Let's go down through the roof. Let's go down through the roof of this place. Nobody's up there." So they make steps and provision to get their friend, their kinsman, up onto the roof. And then as they have him there on that couch, on the roof, they begin to rip up the tiling of that roof. And you understand, being the householder, being these people that are sitting there in the living room or the den, as we would say, and they begin to see this rumbling up above. Notice what these men, the extent that these men go to, they don't care about the structure. They don't care about the damage. All they care about is getting their friend, their kin, in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's essential. They are desirous not to wait for the Lord Jesus to leave this place later in the day. They must get their friend, this man that they have brought before the Lord Jesus Christ, now. There's no time to wait. "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith in themselves, no, saw their faith in him. The whole premise of this is that, in their thinking, is that our friend, our loved one has the palsy. We must get him to Jesus. How will we get him to Jesus? Let him carry him on his couch. Let us carry him on his couch. Where is Jesus? They inquire. They inquire. They find out where the Lord Jesus is, and they make steps and effort to carry him. We don't know if it's hot. We don't know if it's the winter. But no matter what it is, they're taking their friend to Jesus. They come to the place where Jesus is. They see the door. It's blocked. No one will give way for them to pass. They see the windows. There's no opportunity there to pass him through. They say, we got to get him before Jesus. That's all that's needed. He can heal him. Let's go up to the roof. Well, we're going to tear up this roof. We're going to make it to where the rain will fall through it. It doesn't matter. We've got to get him before Jesus now. Everything that every bit of their thinking is to get him before Jesus. Before Jesus. And when Jesus, verse 20, when he saw their faith, he said unto them, him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Early on, Jesus makes a statement here by this, not what you and I would expect. We expect the healing. He says, when he saw their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus says, and determines in his heart and his mind and in his way, I'm going to give this man what he really needs. He says, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now understand, Jesus is dealing with this man, but he's also dealing with others. Those Pharisees, those lawyers, those scribes, those are at hand. Those that are speaking and talking with him, those that he's teaching and instructing. He's dealing with all. We don't know the conversation that they've had up to this point, but Jesus makes this declaration, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. It says here in verse 21, the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And that's the point. Jesus is making an open declaration that he is the forgiver of sins. And indeed he is. Folks, if you're hearing my voice and you're not saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, you need him. You need him and him alone. His salvation, his forgiveness, his shed blood, his death, his sacrifice, his burial, his resurrection. You need Jesus. He's the forgiver of sins. He's the obtainer of righteousness for sinners who cannot do so for themselves. He's the Savior, the only Savior of the world. So these fellas are thinking, well, Jesus is blaspheming. No man can blaspheme. No man can forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, and indeed our Lord does perceive thoughts, he knows what you and I think. We're an open book before our Lord, all of us, every single one of us. There is no sense in denying it. There is no advantage in trying to wrangle out of it. Jesus knows our very thought and intent. He knows our motive. Indeed, he does. He knows every whit about us, and he knows what these fellows are thinking. He says, what reason ye in your hearts? What are you wrangling over in your hearts? Why do you have a controversy within? Why are you halted so between two opinions? Why is this going on in your mind? Whether it's easier, verse 23, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Which is easier? Is it easier for me to say to this man that his sins are forgiven him? Or is it easier for me to say to him, get up and walk? Well, I'll tell you what, both are great things, and you and I, as we would consider Oh, it would take great power and ability to accomplish either one. It would take great power and ability to be able to do either one of these things. These are things that men cannot do. We cannot do this. But Jesus asked it this way. Which is easier? For men, it's all impossible. For men, it's all impossible. But you know what? There is one harder and one easier for the Lord. Yet, it's not hard for the Lord. But there is a ranking that's here. And Jesus has done the one, not so much that takes more power, but indeed cost a greater price. Whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Listen, verse 24, key verse, essential verse to be known, understanding the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding why Jesus came as a man and why he did the miracles that he did. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. So that you may know that I am able and I do forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. So the Lord Jesus Christ says here, you need to know something, and you need to understand that I can forgive sins. Because see, Jesus is God. He's always been God. And he is God now. So that you might know that I do have the power to forgive sins, and it's not a blasphemous thing that I speak. He says to the man of the palsy, get up, take up your couch, and go home. And immediately he arose up before them, the man with the palsy, well, the man that used to have the palsy, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. I've always wondered about this man. Wonder what he did once he got home. I figure he gets inside the door of his house, throws his bed stuff down, and then runs back to the Lord. This man's been saved. This man is glorifying God. This man has been healed of this palsy. He's rejoicing in his Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ makes a definite statement. The reason for the miracles is to show that the power of Jesus Christ is such that he can forgive sinners. He is the Savior. He is the Savior of the world, meaning that he's the only Savior there is in this world, Jesus Christ. He glorifies God, and they were all amazed, verse 26, and they glorified God too. Praise God for his wonderful works, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. We have seen the power that we have never seen before. We see this man who just looks plain and is certainly a Galilean do wonderful, speak wonderful, marvelous, marvelous things. If you're and you're not saved and you're under the hearing of my voice, we point you to this Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's the one that you need. He has the power to save your soul. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the word and the truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com,
or on the web at www.almstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Almsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.